Welcome to the Black Women's World Podcast. Welcome to Black Women's World, where Black women vibe and thrive together. And if you ain't a Black woman, you'll get to know at least one. Because this Black Women's World, my Black Woman's World, is whatever I say it is, simply because I am. So welcome, Sisternistas and Sisternista lovers. We're here for you. Much love and peace. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We just listened to He Can Handle It. That was an oldie but goodie by Kirk Franklin. Owen and I have had the privilege back on October 10th to enjoy the reunion tour. It was amazing. Amazing. I took a bunch of little clips, but you know, I was so into it, I couldn't just stand there and record. I wanted to enjoy the experience, and it was amazing. Welcome to Peace Place, everybody. Peace Place for me. And if it's something I feel to release to the Black Women's World Podcast audience, I will. But welcome, welcome, welcome. But the reunion tour was awesome. And I probably have gone to maybe a couple of hundred concerts in the course of my life. And maybe over 50% of them or more have been gospel concerts. And I will tell you, that was the best ever for gospel concerts. Not only the lyrics and the content and the quality of singing. Oh God, the band was amazing. And the technology, because a lot of times people, especially church folks, it takes them a while to catch on to a lot of things, including technology, but they were able to use technology, and they even brought in, back in the day, God's Property was on screen, but they weren't there, but they were in sync with the music. And it was just all over a good, and probably because I hadn't been in a huge arena like that in a long time to experience, you know, we had second row seats. I mean, and if your heart ain't right physically, them speakers will throw it off. But then again, you just, oh my God, the bass and the speakers, you just become one with the sound. That's why, when I do go to concerts, I always say, if I can't see the whites of the person's eyes, I don't want to go. Because if I'm going to be way back in nosebleed, I can have that at home. So, but anyway, it was so good. So we just listened to He Can Handle It by Kirk Franklin. And that was an old school song, because so many things are happening in my life right now. And the question that was posed to me in a particular study that I'm going through, a class actually. And when I begin to, some things that are shifting in my heart and my mind, I begin to think about, can you handle it? Can you handle these things, Tracy, that you're hearing and seeing? And I begin to think about, what do you meant? Is it, can I handle it? Or is it, can the things I'm attached to handle it? Can my life handle it? Can my mind handle it? Can my body handle it? Can my family handle it? Can my friends handle it? Can my finances handle it? Can my, and then it got all the way down, can your ego handle it? Can your old belief system handle it? And I thought about the movie, A Few Good Men. Y'all remember the movie? I don't know if you do. It's A Few Good Men, and Jack Nicholson plays the part of a Marine Corps officer, and Tom Cruise plays the part of a lawyer, a JAG. And I had the privilege, when we lived in Okinawa, Japan, to work at the legal office, and I worked around a whole lot of Air Force JAGs. And the movie, I think Tom Cruise is a Navy lawyer, but I've worked with JAGs. I worked, I was the in the command office. I was the legal secretary for the Staff Judge Advocate General. That's the colonel, Fulbert Colonel. And all of the officers that worked in that particular building were called JAGs, Judge Advocate Generals. And so they do all the legal work, and the colonel pretty much acts as the judge during proceedings. But the JAGs are the prosecutors and the defending attorneys. So it was a whole lot of legal stuff and top secret clearance and all kind of stuff went on in that office. And when I had seen the movie prior to then, the movie made sense about the legal processes that go in the military community, because military people, they abide by the UCMJ. That's the United Code of Military Conduct, military something. I'm forgetting now because it's been what, oh God, man, almost 15 years since I was in that space. But and it was legal cases that was going on. It was a high profile case that was going on where an American civilian who was working for a civilian job for the government had been accused of raping a young Japanese girl who was also underage. And that profile case was, you know, so it was a whole lot going on then. So when I thought about the movie A Few Good Men, it gets so tense because when you're in another country, it's not just people against people, it's countries against country. So you have generals that come in and the commandant that has held things to say. And so this office had to handle that high profile case. I was far removed from the throes of it, but I had to deal with the people who were involved with, had to work with those people. And so when I thought about the Jack Nicholson line, the major line, when Tom Cruise is just trying to get to the truth of how this Marine died, and you've got orders, and if you don't know a military mindset, it's really hard to understand. But I love the way that the actors were able to pull a civilian mindset into this, because when you are under orders, there's certain things you do or don't do. That's what boot camp is about, is to train you to take orders without question. So in this movie, the troops were pretty much covering up how this young man died. And Tom Cruise, the lawyer, he knew Jack Nicholson had something to do with it. And so when Jack Nicholson was being pressured on the witness stand and just pressured and pressured, and Tom Cruise character said, "We want the truth. We want the truth." And Jack Nicholson looked at him and he said, "You can't handle the truth." And so when that came to mind, because of some things I'm going through and some things that God is evolving in my life, I begin to think there's another level of truth. It's not that truth. Truth is just truth, but there are levels of truth. There are levels of truth. If you tell a child that fire is hot, you know, don't touch the stove. That's the truth. Don't touch it. But if you or teaching a child to cook, there comes a time when they do need to get near the stove. So at one point, don't touch the stove is the truth. And that's the best thing for the child. But as you're teaching them as they get older to learn to cook, they got to get close to the stove. So don't touch the stove is not the truth anymore. So it doesn't mean it was ever a lie, but you've grown into another level of truth. And so when I begin to think, can you handle the truth? And some of the things I'm hearing and thinking, and I begin to say, God, I can handle the truth, but I don't know if I can handle the truth out loud. I don't know if I can handle the truth of what I'm hearing, because all of these questions begin to come to mind. You know, can I handle my next? Can I handle the new? What if they don't like it? What if they don't like me? What if they don't believe me? Hell, what if I don't believe in myself? You know, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if it doesn't make sense as it's coming out of my mouth as I'm beginning to live it? What if it doesn't make sense to them? Or what if it doesn't make sense to me? And what if they laugh at me? I had a conversation with somebody this week, and I did a little snippet video of what if they laugh at me? Or what if it cost me my current fill in the blank? What if it cost me my current status? What if it cost me my current relationships? What if it cost me my current way I think about myself, or the current way other people think about me? And or what about what I believed before? And in the world of mental health, even though I'm not a mental health professional, I've dealt in that world teaching mental health first aid, also dealing with people. I'm not supposed to say nothing about that yet, but anyway, dealing with people in that. Because the whole new fad now is mental health and all this, and some of it is commercialized, and some of it, a lot of it is still needed. But you know, but the thing about when you think about what did I believe before? In the world of mental health, there's something called cognitive dissonance, that when someone is presented with a new truth, the old truth is so anchored in them that they will not allow themselves to believe it. Not just them, the brain will not allow the person to believe it because of what it has to give up. The synapses in the brain won't build a new path. You have a path of the way your mind works, and not because I'm not a neuroscientist or whatever, but just the shallow end of that. Your brain works in these little grooves, and the synapse in the brain that your mind is just bent toward these certain ways. So when a new truth comes, it actually becomes a threat to that groove in the brain. And so when a new truth comes, the brain says, that's scary for us. This is the way we know. So it will reject it, even if it knows it's true, even if it knows it's better. So there's a working that has to happen, deliberate mindset shifts. The word of God even says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's deliberate effort that it takes to take that new belief, even in the fear that the body, because the body goes in fear mode when this new belief comes in. And it's happened a lot, especially in the areas where I've been able to work with people with the racism and the sexism. You know, a lot of white people said they didn't know, you know, they didn't know about racism even back in the 60s. And I love the way that Jane Goodman came up about it. She said, she's a white lady, and she's not only an advocate for Black people, she's an accomplice. And she said, you say you didn't know? Okay, if you didn't know that racism was existing, would you have traded places with Black people? And there's silence. You knew something. But when they're faced with what the truth is, even when they know, they see, it's evident, it's historically accounted for, the same history that some white people are trying to erase, or those in government are trying to erase. It's because they don't want to face the fact this is the truth. Now, you didn't do it, your forefathers did it, but you have benefited from it. But because the brain sees it as a sign of fear, because, what are they going to do to me if I admit this? So cognitive dissonance sets in. So it ain't just with white folks, it's within our own lives. When God reveals new truths to us, and the old truths are set in and embedded in our brain, in our habits, in our traditions, and then we're faced with this new truth, cognitive dissonance sets in, and we will deny it just for the sake of self-preservation. And it's just the reality of how it works. But yet there's another way to get beyond even cognitive dissonance. But when I thought about this new thing, and when God is doing a new thing in you, it's, what do I have to unlearn? Because it's harder to sometimes unlearn something, especially if you're of a certain age. It's harder to unlearn something than it is to learn something new, because you have to give up those old parts of you. And one thing about it, and this isn't just with my life, this isn't just, is not just my first evolution. And sometimes you have to go back and say, how did I evolve before? I had to give up some things, even if it cost me my ego, even if it cost me certain people, places, and things, because you know what? The song said he can handle it, and I made it. Hezekiah Walker song say I made it. It didn't kill me, you know? And so one of the things that when I thought about, can you handle it? You also get the opportunity to go back and look at other people who've handled it, whatever that it is, whether it be a new truth, whether it be a situation or circumstance that you have to survive, whether it be, you get examples. And so when I go back in my mind, there's certain examples that come quickly to the forefront. You know, of course, you know, you think about biblical characters. You think about Noah when he was building the ark. You know, could he handle it? Could he handle the criticism? Y'all remember in Peace Place, I did a teaching called Yachts and Rainbows. And we talked about how Noah built that ark, and how, you know, people, imagine what people said, you know, him being a forerunner, that people had never seen rain like that before. They'd never seen an ark. Moses, Noah, can you handle this? Or even Moses, you know, Moses, can you handle this? I was sharing with somebody the other day, Moses had this great experience where he had gone up to the mountain. And can you imagine, whether some people say it just figuratively or some people say it's literally, whatever you choose to believe, but can you imagine going up to having a mountaintop experience with God? and seeing him write with his finger on the tablets for the Ten Commandments. And you up there, and you done seen the burning bush, you done seen miracles back in the day and the plagues, and you done seen so much. You've had these, oh, never before experiences with God. You have seen God chisel out the Ten Commandments and write on tablets of stone. And you go back down and you excited. And you go back down there to share it with the people. And they down there cutting a pure fool. They down there doing what you told them not to do before. And you got these new commandments. And not only are they not doing what you told them not to do before, you got something new to share with them. And you like, Lord, they ain't even going to be able to do this. Because they couldn't even do the little things. They couldn't even do the truth that day. I got new truth. And not only did he come down from that experience and see this, the first thing they did was start complaining. We ain't got no water. Now, they didn't see manna. We ain't got no water. And Moses was like, Lord, I got to get these people something to drink. What do I do? And God said, just speak to the rock. You've had this wonderful experience. You already know who I am. I am that. I am. I am that. I am. You know me. You know me. Just speak to the rock. Use your power. Speak to the rock. But he let the bellowing and the complaining of the people frustrate the hell out of him to the point where he smote it. And because of his frustration with the people, and he smote the rock, when it came time to go into the promised land, he couldn't go in. He couldn't go in. Can you handle it, Moses? Can you handle me giving you this and then you got to go down and deal with the people that don't know what I already did in you? You got to teach them commandments that they ain't never heard before. Can you handle it? I think about, we think about Jesus, you know, he had to ask himself, let this cup pass from me. Can I handle this? Think about Mary. She had to tell Joseph, this ain't your baby. Can you handle it? Can you imagine today? You know, if a woman said, no, I ain't been with another man, but I'm pregnant and it ain't your baby. And then the husband say, all right, I'm going to take care of it. Can you handle that? Can you handle this? Let's take it out of biblical. Let's go Harriet Tubman. Can you handle it, Harriet? When she said, I would have freed thousands of slaves if they knew. Can you handle it? Can you handle the truth that God is doing in your life? I think about my dad, my parents, together and individually, forerunners, starting a church, talking about the kingdom of God, talking about singing praise and worship. I told y'all one other time, singing songs, what they say, Jones is over there singing songs off the wall. That's because we had a transparency machine and we put the songs on the wall and we didn't have hymnals. Where they're put, he put tables and chairs, took the pews out of the sanctuary, put tables and chairs in it in a classroom environment so you could ask questions and have dialogue and conversations. And if you had a snack you wanted to eat, you could bring it in there and eat. You know, when you do certain things and people dog you out and talk, it takes a champion mind. What does it take for you to change your mind? You have to change your mind before you can change your nature. And so you begin to ask yourself, can I handle it? Because there's some things God is doing in me and showing me. And my synapses were starting to work like they used to. Well, okay, I got to say it in a way that they can receive it, that they're going to accept it, and that it won't cost me the relationship. It won't cost me what they think about me. And I was getting ready to go that way. And then I thought about so much, and I've said so many times that my pain and my loss have not been wasted. My pain and my loss have not been wasted. And I thought about, you know, I lost so much in the past year that when I looked around and I thought about if they're going to like me, what they're going to think, whether it be in business, personal, colleagues, social groups and organizations, what are they going to think? When I looked around, I ain't even got they no more. I really don't have they in the sense that I had they. And so I was like, is that why? And it's not nobody's fault. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not even blaming myself anymore, even though I had to forgive myself for blaming myself. It's just the way that life evolves. Doesn't mean that people are bad. Doesn't mean that you're too good. But I tell you what, it's a new way I think about myself. And I'm not going to think less of myself just for you to like me more or like me better. Because some of the people I was so worried about, what are they going to think? Truth be told, they ain't never really liked me anyway. They never really liked me anyway. They tolerated me or they hang around to get pieces. But they never really liked me anyway. And that's not everybody, because some people like you, love you. You may be in different seasons with people where you ain't as tight or close or whatever, and it'll come back around. But some people, they just hanging around you for the fishes and the loaves. Because even with Jesus, when you think about, can you handle it? Can I change my mind, really? Can I be transformed by the renewing of my mind? Because that's where it all happens. When you pray, you hear it where? In your mouth, out loud. But where do you, when you meditate, it happens in the mind. Everything is, so when let this mind be that was also in Christ Jesus, what mind is that? Do you ask yourself? Do we read scripture? Let this mind be, what mind? Well, one thing about the mind of Christ, he did not count it robbery to be equal with God. And I've said to the Peace Place group many times, Jesus was not crucified for what he did. They loved the loaves and the fishes and the miracles and the water and the wine. They loved that. Jesus was crucified for what he thought. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knew he was the Son of God. Was when you think about what you, everything that your Father is. And he just came to tell the world, not only me, but you too. You're everything God says you are. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees was like, no, nah, Jack, you can't tell them that. Because that means we lose our power and position. So they had to, and even Pilate ain't really, he was like, y'all do it on what you want. Who y'all want, Jesus or Barabbas? Barabbas want no threat. So I'm saying so many things because it goes to the point, can you handle where you're next? Can you handle where God is taking you? Can you handle your next career move? Can you handle an abundance of finances? Can you handle a shift in consciousness, what you think about yourself? Can you handle healing? I was at a conference yesterday and a lady, oh, she had a miraculous story on how God had healed her. And she went from hospice back to health. She was in hospice for 3 weeks. Y'all know hospice, they send you there to die. That lady not only came back from hospice to health, but the dance she put on that floor yesterday, baby. The dance, she had cancer in a certain area of her body. And by the time they did the surgery, they found cancer was everywhere. And they sent her to hospice to die. And she said, I don't belong here. She began to speak what, you know, God said and whatever. But could she handle, you imagine the mind frame that you have to be in to say, no, that's not for me. When she had been going through chemo, she had been going through radiation, she had been going through, and God heals people different. But can you handle your healing? Some people are identified by being sick. Can you handle being healed and they don't pay you no mind no more? There's a show called New Amsterdam, and there was an episode on there where a lady had been healed from cancer, was in remission for years. And her family had been coming to therapy about her death because they've been going through it for so long. And the physician said, wait a minute, she's been healed. She don't have cancer anymore. And so they sent her to psychology. Why you didn't tell your family you have been in remission for years? And she said, because while I was sick, they catered to me. They cared for me. When it came time for us to choose what we wanted to watch on TV, they always let me pick what I wanted to watch. They always let me pick my favorite meal. And I knew that if they ever knew I was well, they would go back to treating me like they did before. Can you handle your healing? Can you handle not getting the attention from it? Can you handle it? And so I'm saying all that, and I hope we get into a conversation, whether it be just in Peace Place or if I share this publicly, that you have a conversation in your communities where it's safe, where you have a conversation even in the recesses of your own mind. Can I handle it? Because you have to be able to say, I can. I can handle it. I can handle my next and now. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can handle it. I have examples. I gave y'all some biblical, some real world examples that can you handle it? You know, they will like it. You got to start. Will they like me? I don't know if they're gonna like me anymore if I start saying this. They will, because God has already a people prepared that have been waiting. Not only are they gonna like it, they've been craving it. They've been wanting it. They've been what creation has been standing on tiptoes waiting for you. They've been eager. They've been waiting. Yeah, they're gonna like it. They're gonna love it because they need it. Will they believe me? Yeah, they're gonna believe me because it's been working in them and they just been looking for confirmation. They've just been looking for somebody else to come out of the woodwork and say, here I am. Me too. Me too. Not just the Me Too movement from women that have been sexually assaulted, but me too. I'm hearing this from God. I'm hearing this in my life. I'm hearing to level up in career. I'm hearing to level up in financial management. I'm hearing these things. When you say, am I going to be right? I'm right. I know I'm right. Even if I'm just right now, I know I am. And then does it make sense? It may not make sense, but Donald Lawrence says making faith because God will use the foolish things to confound. Will they laugh at me? Now this group gonna laugh with me because the joy of the Lord is my strength, and we're gonna have some stuff to laugh about together. I ain't scared they're gonna laugh at me. They gonna laugh with me because we gonna laugh about this thing together. God, can you, will it cost me? It'll cost you more not to. It's like the monkey with his hand in the jar. You don't want to give it up, but if you just let go, there's more outside of the jar. Yeah, it's gonna cost you, but what to live is Christ, to die is what gain. It may cost you your life as you knew it, but this new abundant life, another way of thinking, another realm of being. Can God, can you do it? Can you do, if he did it before, Ty Tribbett, he'll do it again. If God took you from where you used to be to where you are now, you don't think God can do it again? Of course. What will I have to unlearn? A lot. Because it's all in your head. What you think people are thinking about you is what you think is happening here. Very few times do people come out with it with their mouth. And if people have the luxury of saying negative things to you out of their mouths, you've opened the portal at some time before. Because it's something you can't come say it to my face. And it's not because you're trying to start a fight or anything, but a lot of times what you think people are thinking about you, they ain't even thinking it. And if they are thinking it, they don't have the courage to come tell you. And if they do have the courage to come tell you and it's negative, then you must have opened a portal at some point in time. And I'm not talking about constructive criticism. I'm talking about people that try to dog you out. If somebody dogging you out with their mouth, when did you give them permission? Did you dog yourself out and they caught wind of that? And they you opened the door and they came in and rode on that train because you said it about yourself. So a lot of these things, you know, it's like it's all in your head. And I said, you got to change your mind, and you change your nature. When you think about having the mind of Christ, when you say, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And I think that's Philippians 2 or whatever. And I know I ain't gave no chapter and verses because you got to become them chapter and verses. Somebody was saying the other day, Tracy, people will follow you more. They don't know which way you're going. You don't use scripture, and I'm kind of scared because you don't use scripture the way people need you. Let me tell you something. At this point in my life, if you can't see the word of God in me, don't even look at me. If you can't see, if I can't, if I haven't become a living epistle by now, keep going. Because I don't, you know, it's like I know the word, I can quote it, and I quote it and I live it. So I ain't even worried about that. So if I'm not using enough scripture for you, keep going. Find somebody else who is. Find your voice. Because there's some things God is doing me now that even in this group, even with this podcast, I know I probably lose a lot of people. I ain't even started talking about it yet. I ain't even put my mind, because the things I'm saying now, some people, it's too beyond to some people. That's one reason why groups stay small, because they scared to be with you. Keep your scary cat behind somewhere else, because it's too much going on in the world for us to live scared anymore. It's too much going on in your body, in your mind, in your families to keep living scared. And you have to be, you have to cultivate this thing. God will allow you to cook it in a way, but you can't talk out two sides of your neck anymore. You can't be one thing over here with this group and then over here with this group. You know, there's so many things, you know, they call it hypocrisy. There's so many, the code switching that people do, you know, imposter syndrome. We got to start shaking all of that off, because what God is doing is not so much is new, because as Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. It's new to us. It's a new way of being, and we've got to shake those things off. So there is a new thing, but can you handle it? And if any parts of you say, I can't, get into a place where you can, because you're going to be held accountable. And it's not a negative thing or doom and gloom or you going to hell. No, the accountability is you're not going to be able to live in peace with your own mind when you're warring with your own flesh. Because the word of God says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You ain't fighting nobody. The battle is the mind. So let this mind be. Can you handle changing the consciousness and the consciousness of the Christ nature? Can you handle it? And you have to get to a point where you say yes. And once you say yes, God will begin to equip you. I was hearing all these things and all these men in ministry, and I don't have anything against men. I've been taught and trained and loved by men, but I know that there were some areas in life and business, and whether it be non women not getting equal pay, in the church, so many things of sexism. So when I'm hearing these things, I'm hearing a lot of voices, and it's men, and I'm like, where are the women? Where are the women? I know we out here. Where are the women? And one thing is the delivery. The delivery is different. There is a difference in the species. There is a difference. And what I found was the women are out here. We just speak it different. You know, if you look at men being hunters and gatherers, they just go out there and get it, huh? And women, we have a way of cooking it and making it a little more palatable. So in some cases, people think it looks weak, but it isn't, because we can make you sit down at the table. Not only can we make you eat it, but we can show you how to cook it. You can go and cook it for yourself. So sometimes we're looking for women. I talked about too. We're looking for a particular how are these people going to show up in this place? And we're looking for a norm. We're looking for the eggs and the butter and the flour and the milk and the when we got cake. So don't look for the raw ingredients anymore, because sometimes you got to grow where the cake is already done. And I hope I'm making sense. If not, I know it's making faith. Because you get to a point is, can you handle the truth? Can you handle this way that God is speaking to you? Can you handle it? And I know you can. You just got to get around the right people. You got to decide to change your mind, that even in the face of cognitive dissonance, you have to decide, mind be transformed. And it takes an inner conversation. It takes having outer conversation. You got to say some things, as Lisa Nichols used to say, with your knees shaking, that you just got to go ahead and say it, because you'll find your tribe. But I'm telling you, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's family, if it's friends, if it's whatever. There's a place I'm going to. There's a place, there's some things I'm going to be saying. And if you're scared of what I'm saying now, you're really going to be scared. So go and get off the bus. Go and get off the bus now. Because I cannot any longer, and I had been for the past 7 or 8 months trying to make it palatable, trying to say it this way so they can receive it, because I don't want to. But I got so few people with me now that if they leave, they just be gone. Somebody said yesterday, girl, my circle is small. I said, my circle got so small, I was spinning in circles because there wasn't nobody in there but me. And it's cool. Yes, I need people because we live in the earth. We need relationships. But what I was afraid of losing was already gone. So if anything else goes now, God has proven to me I can handle the truth. Can God trust you with the truth to handle? And I know I've talked a little longer than I usually do, and I ain't even apologizing for it because it needs to be said. It's necessary. So go from, you got to ask yourself initially, can I handle it? And hopefully you grow in those things in your mind and hopefully develop and get people around you till you get to the point to say, yes, I can handle the truth. God, you can trust me to handle what you're doing in me, whether people like it or not, because I promise you that's the fear. Because the fact and the truth is, they will. You just got to get around the right people. Some people question their value because they feel this person doesn't value me. You know, just like they talk about that bottle of water. And I'll close with this. A bottle of water is a bottle of water. I've got one sitting here right now. It's a bottle of water. If you buy it by the case, maybe $5, $6 a case, you get 30 some bottles. Do the math. How much is it per bottle? If you go to the grocery store and it's on in the cooler, that same bottle of water costs you about $2 and change. If you go to the convenience store, that same bottle of water will cost you $3 or $4. If you go to Disney World, that same bottle of water costs you $5 or $6. What changed? The convenience and the value that people place on it. Some things to me, what I'm talking about now. And what I will be speaking, it's always been in me. Those things about you, it's always been there. You're just unearthing it and you're just getting the courage to let it come out of your mind first, come out of your mouth, and then your life will begin to be evidence. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. The bottle, the water ain't proving I'm worthy, I'm worthy, I'm worthy. It just has to be put at the right place around the right people. And then those people in the Disney World, they're willing to pay for it because it's hot and they're thirsty. People are waiting for you because they're hot and it's thirsty. And can you handle it? Can you handle what's coming with it? And I say, yes, I can. Much love and peace. I'm grateful and I love y'all for real, for real, and for real. I'm Tracy Mack.
You've been listening to Black Women's World Podcast, the BWWP. Brought to you in part by Tracy Mack Solutions for Life Institute Coaching and Training Services. No doubt you have enjoyed being in our world, and it doesn't have to stop here. Head on over to blackwomensworld.com. This is my personal invitation to you to stay connected with me on social media and more. I'd love to see you there, and I'm so grateful you came to be with me here. Invite someone else to join you in our queendom next time so they can feel the vibe of our tribe. Of Sister Nistas and Sister Nista lovers too. Remember to be kind, be authentic, be generous, be excellent, be grateful, and while you're at it, go ahead and be extraordinary, because that's just what Sister Nistas do, on purpose, through mission, with passion and compassion. It's a Black woman's world, baby, and you, my Sister Nista, are proof. I'm your self-discovery companion, your professional peacemaker, and your host, Tracy Mack. Wherever you are in the world, may you love and be loved by somebody. Peace.